From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the concluding portion of a message called The Victory of the Cross, part of this series in the book of Joshua. Chapter 8, verses 29 and 30 records two actions which Joshua performed following the defeat at the city of Ai. First, he slew the king of Ai. Then he built an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal. Dr. Cairns is applying these events to what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. He's demonstrated already that Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. This was the first step in the Savior's triumph, the breaking of the devil's power. At his second coming, the Lord Jesus, the reverser of the curse, will cast the evil one into the lake of fire forever. Furthermore, through the victory of his cross, the Lord Jesus continues to defeat Satan by redeeming lost sinners and by sustaining saints in their spiritual warfare. It's true that God's people cannot always understand what God is doing in their lives, but they can be certain that the Lord is doing the right thing. He is making all things work together for good to them that love Him. As we'll see today, through the victory of His cross, the Lord Jesus Christ will defeat Satan fully and forever. The call to believers is to live in the shadow of the cross. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. First, we invite you to listen to this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 17 and verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Behold the superlative liberality of the Lord Jesus, for he hath given us his all. Although a tithe of his possessions would have made a universe of angels rich beyond all thought, yet was he not content until he had given us all that he had. It would have been surprising grace if he had allowed us to eat the crumbs of his bounty beneath the table of his mercy. But he will do nothing by halves. He makes us sit with him and share the feast. Had he given us some small pension from his royal coffers, we should have had cause to love him eternally. But no, he will have his bride as rich as himself, and he will not have a glory or a grace in which she shall not share. He has not been content with less than making us joint heirs with himself, so that we might have equal possessions. He has emptied all his estate into the coffers of the church, and hath all things common with his redeemed. There is not one room in his house, the key of which he will withhold from his people. He gives them full liberty to take all that he hath to be their own. He loves them to make free with his treasure, and appropriate as much as they can possibly carry. The boundless fullness of his all-sufficiency is as free to the believer as the air he breathes. Christ hath put the flagon of his love and grace to the believer's lip, and bidden him drink on forever. For could he drain it, he is welcome to do so. And as he cannot exhaust it, he is bidden to drink abundantly, for it is all his own. What truer proof of fellowship can heaven or earth afford? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe.
Worship you today.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
God is doing, He is doing in relation to that purpose which He has in Christ. The Lord Jesus not only conquered Satan at Calvary, but in the fullness of that victory, He continues to defeat Satan in converting sinners, in the lives of His people, and in making all things serve His purpose. And finally, let me say that through the victory of the cross, Christ will defeat Satan fully and forever. Scripture has much to say about this. Time forbids we go through many of the passages, but I think of Paul speaking of the end time. The end times fascinate people. Naturally, I suppose. But there's more blether talked about the end times than almost any other subject. You have idiotic preachers getting up and they're setting one date for the coming of the Lord, then another date, then another date, then another date. Used to be it was the post-millennialists who were setting the year when Jesus would come. Now they seem to have learned a bit more sense. And so you have the pre-millennialists, and they're setting the dates. Now those of you who are amillennialists, don't get a big head, because you haven't made that mistake. You've just made a much bigger mistake. So nobody has anything to be too proud of in man's attempts to penetrate the veil of the end times. But Paul looked at those times and he said, then shall that wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Paul tells us when wickedness finds its greatest expression, when the seed of the serpent finally reaches its most diabolical manifestation, when Satan has his Messiah crowned king on the earth, then that wicked one will be revealed, and the Lord will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. I think of what John wrote in the book of the Revelation, 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Again in chapter 20, at the beginning of the chapter, he says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And yet again he goes on to describe, after 1,000 years, the ultimate and eternal demise of Satan's power. As Revelation 11 verse 15 puts it, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Listen, he shall reign forever and ever. Thus the victory of Christ extends through all time and through all eternity. But for you and me, the immediate thing to know is this victory which was wrought at Calvary, which continues to be worked out by God's grace in Christ, and which will issue in eternal glory. This victory extends to every Christian, and it extends to the whole Church of Christ. Let me explain that to you. For I want you to know this. If you're a Christian, it is not the will of God that you live in defeat. No free man should become a slave again to sin. Paul told the church at Romans chapter 16, 20 of the book of Romans, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It is God's will that we live in the victory of the conquering Christ. And it's God's will that we live in the victory of this great assurance that not one single person among Christ's redeemed will ever be lost. That is the ultimate emphatic proof of the utter victory of the cross. Jesus says, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost. Let's just let that sink in. What could prove the victory of the cross more clearly? All that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Joshua, as we read this morning, wanted Israel to live under the shadow of the altar. He wanted Israel to know that all they enjoyed was because of grace, and grace was because of the altar. And that guaranteed their every victory. That's what he wanted them to grasp. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants you and me to grasp the very same thing. Let me sum it up like this. At the cross, we see God's grace at its fullest. We see God's power at its greatest. And we see God's promise at its clearest. Let us never forget this. The cross defeated Satan, purchased our salvation, and guaranteed our victory unto eternal glory. Let us therefore live in the shadow of the cross. Let our lives be one unending reaction to Calvary. I can't put it any more simply or clearly than that. How am I to live the Christian life? How am I to enjoy the Christian life? How am I to fulfill all the ideals of the Christian life? One way, and one way only, and that is by living in the light and in the sight of the cross. May God indeed grant us that grace. As the old hymn put it, let it ever be our prayer, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Because that cross defeated Satan. That cross guarantees my victory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Just a moment, the meeting will be over. I'll be closing with a final word of prayer. I wonder, do you know Christ today? Wonder, do you really know anything savingly of Christ? There's no one else can take his place. There's no power on earth can take the place of that mighty atoning work of Calvary. If you're not saved today, the call of the gospel is a call to Christ. It's a call to a cross. It's a call to a cleansing in the precious blood of the Lamb. Then come Come, sinner, come and be saved. I'd love to help you in the things of God. I'd love to point you to Christ. Don't leave this meeting without the Savior. Come and have a word with me and let me open God's book with you. If you're a Christian today, yet your life is in disarray, your soul is in the bitterness of great bondage because you've turned your back on Christ, and you fill your eyes with something other than the cross, there's a way back to God. There's a way back to the altar. When Abraham left the altar, he went into Egypt and its bondage. The answer was to get right back to where he had left the Lord, to get back to the altar. Come back today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then come. You'll find he restoreth our soul. Sinner or backslider, flee to Christ. And Christian, get your eyes on him. That's the way to live in the victory of the cross. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We pray that thou wilt write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of the heart. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt even through thy word today produce conviction of sin. And we pray that through thy word thou wilt produce a desire for Christ. O God, have mercy on sinners and save them. Have mercy on backsliders and restore them. Have mercy, O God, on thy saints, and grant us grace to live in the victory of the knowledge of Christ and his cross. Answer prayer. Part us with thy very richest blessing. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace abide ever with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.